Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, it's my favorite, Ken Lovett, the Albany Bureau Chief of the New York Daily News. Ken has been on so many times that we're thinking of changing the title from the Capital Connection to the Ken Lovett Show. Welcome, Ken.
Always good to be here.
Every Monday morning, you're the go-to guy. For anybody who doesn't know about state politics, you always set the agenda for the week. How do you get those stories? Somebody call you up and whisper something in your ear? Or how do you do that?
Some weeks it's easier than other weeks. You know, sometimes you get tips. Sometimes you just talk to a lot of different people and something strikes your interest. Some things you think of on your own. You know, a whole variety of ways. Some days my column, if I'm lucky, is done on Friday. And then some days on Sunday, I'm struggling to find something that can run in Monday's paper.
So I knew this guy, I forget his name, who used to call me five times a day. He worked for one of the rival newspapers. He used to call me all the time and say, what do you got? What do you got? Can you tell me something? Is a sort of an air of desperation. Do you ever feel that?
I don't know if desperation, but like I said, some weeks are easier than other weeks, and there are Sundays where I go in where I'm working extra hard to find something. You know, the greatest feeling is when on a Tuesday you know you have something for the following Monday,
yeah.
and you're like, ah, you know, I don't have to kill myself.
Well, I write a couple of columns a week, and there are days I have nothing, and I sit down at the computer, and I put my hands on the little letters, and I say, fingers, do something.
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny. There was one time I was having a surgical procedure.
Yeah.
So I wrote my column. It was going to be on a Thursday, the procedure, or a Wednesday. And I wrote the column in advance. And the column at the time, Michael Bloomberg was mayor of New York City, and he was a big guy in terms of gun control. But I had found that he had donated a lot of money to national candidates who were NRA highly approved.
Yeah.
And so I had a column that he's not putting his money where his mouth is when it comes to supporting candidates. So I'm waiting for my procedure. I'm on a gurney. I'm in the hospital. I'm on a gurney. And it's Wednesday. And it was delayed an hour, the procedure. So I'm reading my iPhone. And all of a sudden, I see that Scott Brown in Massachusetts,
sure,
Bloomberg endorsed him. And in my head, I thought to myself, this isn't going to hold another 5 days because someone's going to put two and two together. So I call my desk from the gurney and I said, hey, you got to run the story, the column I wrote for Monday, you got to write it, run it tomorrow. Just add a sentence about Scott Brown and blah, blah, blah. Had my procedure, was in the hospital for a couple of days, went home that weekend, was in a lot of pain. And that Sunday, which was probably the dumbest thing I've done in my 30 years as a journalist, I reported out a new column. And by the end of the day, I felt like I was hit by a Mack truck. But I did have a column that Monday.
That is just a testimonial to your work ethic, Ken Lovett.
Stupidity.
No, indeed. Let's go to the elections.
Sure.
We haven't had a chance to sit down. It looked good for the Democrats. Am I missing something here?
No, I think it was good for the Democrats. You know, the Republicans will say there were pockets upstate where they did okay. They picked up three seats in Erie County, though they lost the legislature. They picked up three countywide seats. They won Binghamton mayor, you know, those kinds of things. The Rensselaer County exec. But in Nassau County, they lost the county executive race. And in Westchester County, they lost the race, you know, Rob Estorino going for a third term. And on top of that, on Long Island, the town of Hempstead supervisor, for the first time in a century that there's been that position,
D'Amato Land,
went Democrat. So certainly there's a lot of factors why. I think obviously backlash against Trump and the Republicans in Congress was a big part of it, and especially downstate. I think union turnout, heavy turnout for the Constitutional Convention. They came out against it. I think that played a part. And I think some local issues like corruption in Nassau County among Republicans and other issues locally played a part as well. But certainly there's no denying that the Trump factor, you know, played a big role.
Now, I certainly would agree with you on that. So when all is said and done, Did, I don't know how to put this politely, but did the Democrats use their ammunition a year early? That's the question. In other words, everybody's sort of counting on 2018, in which the legislature's up, the Congress is up. It might have been a little early.
I don't know, because, you know, if you look back to 2009, where the Democrats were in control of the state Senate and you had all these things, you had a mini wave in 2009 where the Republicans took over the Nassau County executive. They won the Westchester County. That's when Astorino won for the first time. The following year, there was a Republican wave. So the Democrats are certainly hoping this is similar to that, where you have, you know, the early signs and then the wave comes in 2018. It is still a Democratic state heavily. The Republicans have to find candidates. They have to find candidates who have name recognition, who have money. So it's going to be hard. Whether or not this translates into congressional victories, that remains to be seen. But certainly on the statewide level, it helps. And we should also point out that this argument over taxes and the elimination of the deductibility of state and local taxes.
Salt.
Where does that hurt most? That hurts on Long Island and Westchester County.
Where somebody can be paying $25,000 in taxes on a shack.
Yeah, and those are the areas that are going to be hit hardest, and those also happen to be the areas that will be the battleground areas for regions for the fight for the state Senate. So that's going to be interesting to see. I know a number of Republicans I wrote on Monday are nervous that if the SALT deductions are eliminated or restricted from what they are now, that it could have an impact on the state Senate races in a way that would hurt the Republicans.
Now, in upstate New York, defined as anything over Yonkers, there are congressmen who are biting their nails. That's obvious. Way up in the North Country, Elise Stefanik, who's a younger congresswoman from the area, has already said she's not voting for the tax bill. That's got to be tough on her and her relationship with her leaders, although she'll clearly be on that short list of people who will be allowed to be off the hook to save their jobs. It's fascinating to watch how all of this goes and how one's fortunes can change. Take the case, the strange case of Rob Astorino, who we mentioned before, who was the county exec, fairly popular Westchester County in this election. He lost, but he lost bad.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised he lost.
He's a Republican, I should mention.
He's a Republican. Westchester is heavily Democratic. He won two terms. I wasn't surprised he lost. The polls showed it kind of going that way, but he lost by 14 points.
Yeah.
I didn't see that happening. And certainly he not only lost the Westchester County executive race, but he lost his ability to run for governor again. You know, he lost to Cuomo originally in 2014. He was considering another run for 2018. That's over. He says he's not going to do it. He wouldn't have had a chance if he did after losing the executive race.
So does that position other people who may have taken a secondary spot to Astorino to run against the governor? We still don't know about the trials. We do know that Andrew Cuomo has $26, $27 million in campaign funds in the bank. We read a very interesting story in one of your competitors, the New York Times, which suggested that Cuomo was raising virtually nothing from small donors. It's all the big boys. And his father had a real tough time in his third term, lost in the fourth term. So what do you think? You think that Cuomo does have any vulnerability at all?
I think Cuomo has a lot of vulnerability. Whatever happens, though, I don't know. A lot of things have to break for the Republicans. One, you need a candidate who can finance a campaign. They have someone in Harry Wilson, who's a business turnaround expert. He's more of a moderate Republican.
And he's got a lot of money.
He's got a lot of money. He says he's willing to drop $10 million of his own cash into the race, which is huge. You know, I don't think Astorino raised even $5 million on his own 3 years ago. So that's a big deal. He hasn't said whether he'll run or not. He's considering it. We should know by the end of the year what his plans are. If he runs, that's a significant thing. He could be a formidable challenger, potentially.
Let's all remember that George Pataki was a hoo-hee. Nobody knew who he was when he ran against Cuomo.
Right. Now, Cuomo has these trials to contend with. If things come out and if people are paying attention, because so much of the attention of the public is on Washington.
And on Trump.
And on Trump, that, you know, if people pay attention and there are some revelations that come out, he could be hurt by that. The upstate economy is hurting. He could be hurt by that. You have a budget that is cratering. He could be hurt by that. But I think, even before we get to the Republicans, will the governor face a challenge from the left, a credible challenge from the left, is going to be a huge deal.
In his primary.
In a primary, a Democratic primary. And even more important, I think, which could help the Republicans, you have two minor parties, the Green Party, which has a lot of people from the left, and Cuomo's been courting them a lot lately, but they've made it clear they are not going to endorse him. They don't cross-endorse with major party candidates. And then you have the Working Families Party. Now, this is the one to watch, because if the Working Families Party does not give its line to Cuomo, and they have someone different, and then you have a separate Green Party candidate, those two candidates are going to pull votes away from Cuomo in a general election from the left. And that means a Republican, theoretically, would only need 45-46% of the vote. He wouldn't necessarily need, because, you know, Howie Hawkins, the Green Party candidate in 2014, grabbed 5% of the vote in 2014. Now add another, a Working Families Party candidate who can grab, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8%? And then all of a sudden, you know, the hurdle for the Republicans isn't as high as it needs to be if they weren't separate candidates.
Well, Ken Lovett of the Daily News, that's a very interesting analysis. However, we remember an election in which Cuomo's hash was saved by none other than one of his seemingly mortal enemies, Mayor de Blasio of New York, who came in and begged the Working Families Party to give him their nomination. And they did. Is that detente still possible?
I would not expect to see that ever again. The bigger question isn't whether de Blasio would come in and help Cuomo, because I don't see that happening. Bigger question is, will de Blasio, who has now won a second term easily and is going to be term limited out, he's done, he can't run again for mayor, will he act?
Unless, like Michael Bloomberg, who you mentioned before, he buys it.
Yeah, which I don't see happen. I don't think he has the money or the will, the political will. But will de Blasio, forget about helping, will he go out and actively try to hurt the governor? Will he publicly or even behind the scenes back a leftist candidate against the governor in a primary? Will he do things to embarrass the governor publicly? You can make the argument that he has nothing to lose because he doesn't have to run again. But the other side of it is, if he goes too hard, he still has to govern for the next 4 years. And the governor has a long memory. And so he's going to need things from the state, whether it's ability to raise taxes, whether it's revenue, school aid, you name it. It all comes through the state. And if he hurts the governor too much and the governor wins, then it blows up in his face. His agenda's done for the next 4 years. So I'm sure he's balancing that out.
And Ken Lovett, while we're on the subject of taxes, there is a tax bill that is in the United States Congress right now. If homeowners, as you mentioned before, are not able to deduct all or part of their tax bills from their income tax return, the state could be in really bad fiscal shape, couldn't they?
Well, the state is already in bad fiscal shape. There's already a $4 billion plus deficit that's projected. The comptroller says it could be as high as $8 billion. These are the biggest deficits we've seen since Cuomo came into office, when he came in with a $10 billion deficit.
Isn't that a little bit strange? You know, usually governors go into their election cycle feeling healthy, not unhealthy.
Well, I mean, Mario went in and, you know, was coming out of a recession. The difference here, we don't have a recession. I don't know. You know, look, for 1 year, I'm sure they could prop up a budget, you know, and spread out the pain so it doesn't hurt on an election day, because that also favors the legislature, that they're all up for re-election too. So I wouldn't be shocked. And in some ways, it makes it easier to do a budget, because when you don't have money, it's easier to put something together than when you have a lot of money and then everyone's arguing about where it should go. So you have that. I don't know. With the taxes, certainly the governor says not only could it hurt the state's coffers, billions of dollars, but it could also hurt the middle class, because he's worried that if this goes through, it's going to be the wealthy that are hurt, and that they can move out of New York, which then passes the tax burden that's left onto the middle class and the working class people.
Wow.
That's his fear.
So I think I'm hearing that if there are bumps in the road, either de Blasio or taxes or the famous trial, that Cuomo could have some problems.
He is vulnerable, but I still think at this moment, November, whatever we're talking, it's going to be an uphill battle to defeat him. But that doesn't mean he's going to win with 66% of the vote. I don't think you're going to see any numbers like that. You know, upstate, he's still not liked very much. For the governor, though, on the plus side of things, is he's still extremely popular in New York City and among liberals. Now, the governor distinguishes, and I think he's right in this case, he distinguishes with the unrest from what he calls the professional left and then the rest of the liberal part of New York. Because if you look at every poll, he's in the mid-60s or higher in New York City, and he's in the, which is higher than de Blasio, it's higher than Schumer, and he's in the mid-60s among liberals. So as of right now, those are the biggest constituencies for a Democratic primary. And then you still have to, if you're a Republican, you have to do somewhat well in New York City and the suburbs. And so we'll see.
Well, as we speak, we've just seen him out in California raising money from the usual suspects, the elite movie guys and all the rest. So, you know, there is a question as to why is he raising that money? Well, we all know. Come on. He's running for president of the United States. He wants to be president of the United States. Now, interestingly, I think so does Bill de Blasio. We have seen a spate of history in which governors and mayors of New York, John V. Lindsay and Rockefeller, ruin each other's chances for that office because they get into these fights with each other. Is that what's happening here?
I just think you have two people who don't play well together. You have a very progressive liberal mayor who wants to raise taxes on the wealthy and wants to do all these different things. And then you have a governor who doesn't want to raise taxes, who's built his reputation on being a social liberal and a fiscal moderate, you know, more conservative, and they just clash. And it's very difficult for Cuomo if he was raising taxes, if they do a millionaire's tax. That impacts Westchester and Long Island. That impacts upstate, which even though they don't have a lot of millionaires, they don't like the idea necessarily of raising taxes. So they're at cross agendas. The funny thing is, we were promised completely different. You know, when they both got, when de Blasio got elected, we were told these guys are friends. They go back 20 years and that you're going to see a relationship that's different than the usual bitterness between governor and mayor. And they're right. We do have a different relationship. It's even worse.
Do we, does Andrew Cuomo really have friends?
Politically, certainly not. You know, or he has some, but not a lot. He doesn't play well. He and Schneiderman seem to have a detente the last year or two, the Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman. But he hates the comptroller, Tom DiNapoli. He hates the mayor of New York City. And the feeling is mutual of Chuck Schumer, the U.S. Senator. You know, so Cuomo likes to be the dominant alpha politician of New York. And he doesn't play well in the sandbox with others. And you know, to be fair, a lot of the attacks on the mayor often come after the mayor starts an attack on him. The difference is it's kind of like the mayor throws a rock at him and then he takes out a bazooka and blasts them.
Yeah, I don't even think he likes me that much. Okay, so let's go on and discuss the petition to take Mario Cuomo's name off the Tappan Zee Bridge.
An online petition to take it. Yeah, a number of people were really put off that the governor really pushed this through the legislature at the end of the year, all at the end of the legislative session. All of a sudden, you had this bill that would rename a park after a senator and rename another park after an assemblyman, and that was the trade-off, and then the bridge after Mario Cuomo. People are upset that they took the name Tappan Zee out, because really the full name of the old bridge was the Malcolm Wilson Tappan Zee Bridge.
Heard from Malcolm Wilson's daughter. She doesn't like it.
Yeah, a Republican, former Republican governor, and now it's just the Mario Cuomo. So you've had over 55,000 people who've signed this online petition saying you should strip the Mario Cuomo name and go back to Tappan Zee.
Well, personally, Ken, you're the guest, but I don't like it. It's not that I don't have a relationship with the Cuomos. I mean, I interviewed Mario Cuomo for years, and I wrote a book about him, and I thought he was great. Nevertheless, I don't like any of this Ed Koch stuff or you know, even RFK and the Triborough Bridge. I just don't like it. I think it's unseemly that they feather their own nests one more time by doing this stuff.
Well, on the plus side of it is he's a late governor. You know, he's not alive. We've seen things named after living, sitting lawmakers.
Absolutely. So, I don't like it.
But in this case, a lot of people feel that for Cuomo, who wants to be reelected, and all of a sudden you have the Mario Cuomo Bridge, and so his name is out there. You know, if he's running for president, the name is on the bridge, and, you know, people will look at him. They feel he's trying to piggyback on it. The governor says he's just trying to honor his father who served three terms. Ultimately,
probably
I don't know
true.
How big an issue it is, other than, you know, it's out there right now, but
probably at least allowed to love his father. I respect that. And it's true that his father loved him. Okay, so let's go to the president of the United States is coming to New York. He has limited his trips to New York because it is almost for sure that the minute he shows up for a fundraiser in New York, which is what is being planned right now, there's going to be massive demonstrations. He may be a New Yorker. He may sound like a New Yorker, but New Yorkers don't like him that much.
No, his poll numbers are very low, 33% or lower the last time. Mm-hmm. Certainly, he lost his home state to Hillary Clinton. No, they don't, and he hasn't endeared himself to particularly the Democrats since taking office. So, yeah, I would expect there's going to be a lot. And there are a lot of Republicans who aren't happy with him right now because they feel that the tax reform bill is going to hurt his home state.
Well, it will. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, you know, I've always thought he shares certain properties with Andrew Cuomo in that neither of them like everybody and that they also been accused of bullying. Both of them have been accused of bullying. So there are some people think you fight fire with fire. That's why Andrew Cuomo should be the presidential candidate.
Andrew Cuomo, it's interesting. I kind of put him in the Rudy Giuliani category in that to a lot of people, Giuliani would have made a really good general election candidate but couldn't get through the primary.
Yeah.
And I think given where the Democratic Party is right now nationally, it's going to be hard for him. He's had his troubles with the unions. He has his trouble with the left. Even though he certainly has a lot of accomplishments he could point to that the liberals want, I think, though, the left does not trust him. They don't think he's one of their own. And he's going to have to really work hard to win them over if he wants to win a Democratic primary.
As you know, there's a group of so-called traitors. They're Democrats who act like Republicans. And they go over there, the Independent Democratic Conference. And there's the regular Democrats. How is that developing? Is there any resolution on the horizon?
I don't know if it's on the horizon, but certainly I know that the IDC members, the Independent Democratic Conference members who broke away, there's eight of them, they've got to be worried if they looked at this the recent elections and see where everything is going.
Because a lot more Democrats might be elected to the Senate?
Well, not only just that, not that there will be enough Democrats to put them out of business, so to speak, but the pressure is on them. I think a number of them are going to face primary challenges. I think a number of them are vulnerable to primary challenges. They could lose.
Really?
So it's eight right now, and maybe they could lose three or four seats in a primary, and then what happens?
And the argument from the opponent in a Democratic primary would be, hey, this guy's really a closet Republican, or this
they're emboldening
person,
the yeah. Trump Republicans. That's their line.
Yeah.
That's the line they're going to repeat over and over and over, that they're Trump Democrats. They're Trump Democrats. And I think the breakaway Dems are worried about that, and so I think ultimately, there'll probably be a resolution. However, there is something of a monkey wrench in the things, which is going into the new year, the new legislative session, the Democrats are down two seats because George Latimer beat Astorino for county exec. So that seat's open. And Ruben Diaz in the Bronx is going to become a city councilman. So that seat is open. I don't anticipate, you know, the earliest a special election could be held for those two seats is mid-March. My guess is it would be more like April, that the governor will wait until after.
Because he doesn't really want to see the regular Democrats
and they
win.
Want to wait till after the budget.
Yeah.
Because that way, you know, it doesn't throw a wrench into things. So even if the breakaway Dems went back, they still wouldn't have a majority because of these two open seats.
Yes, I got it. Ken Lovett, one more time, you prove what you are worth to this program because you point out what we don't know already, and that's great. Our guest has been columnist and Albany Bureau Chief for the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett, the go-to guy in New York politics. Ken, thanks so much for joining us.
Always fun. Thank you.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.